So I love mysteries. And I think it's because my mom loves mysteries. I used to watch Masterpiece Theater with her all the time, like Sherlock Holmes and Hercule Poirot and Miss Marple.
The classics.
Did you ever watch those?
Oh, of course.
Oh, that's so good to know. But anyway, I think maybe that, my love of those shows, is why I can never resist an economic mystery. And one of the big ones out there is the productivity mystery. We just got new productivity numbers out this morning, and productivity grew at a 2.9% annual pace in the second quarter. That is today's indicator, 2.9%. And that is quite good. But productivity growth has been really weak for a long time, for decades. And over the past year, even including that strong second quarter, productivity growth was only 1.3%. Pretty slow.
And measuring productivity seems like it would be kind of difficult, or at least really complicated. But actually, it turns out that it's really simple. We talked to Heidi Shierholz about this. She's a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute.
So we have these measures of GDP, so the total output produced in the economy. Then we also have other surveys that measure the total hours worked in the economy. That in productivity is literally the ratio of those two things. I'm simplifying a little, but not actually that much.
So how much stuff the U.S. economy produced divided by the number of hours we all worked. So how much economic bang we're getting for our hours worked buck.
So simple.
So simple.
So simple. But yet there is a mystery.
Yes.
Because if you look at productivity numbers in the U.S., they have been on a tear since the 1940s, just up and up and up. And this makes sense, right? Plane travel became common, electric lights, air conditioning, highways, penicillin.
Brave New World.
Brave New World. With the help of machines, one human could produce hundreds of lamps or chocolate bars or T-shirts every hour. So way more productive than the days of the artisan. But over the last 10 years, productivity has slowed to a crawl.
And this seems really strange, right? Because all the advances in technology in the last decade have made us able to work so much faster, so much more efficiently. Our productivity seems like it should be on fire.
And yet...
And yet...
It is not. Justin Wolfers is a professor of economics and public policy at the University of Michigan.
Is it important? Is it like a big deal if, you know, the economy's doing pretty well? Does it matter that we're less productive?
Yes. In fact, it might be the key economic indicator. If we want life to get a little bit better each year, or for this generation relative to the last generation, then we need people to be able to get more done, produce more stuff each hour, or each workday, or each lifetime. So we can definitely make more stuff by getting people to work more hours, but that's no fun. What's better is when we get to make more stuff while working the same number of hours. That's productivity growth, and that's why we say it's the key driver of living standards over the long run.
Patty Hirsch, our very lives are at stake. This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Patty Hirsch. Today on the show, The Great Productivity Mystery.
The podcast is afoot.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ExxonMobil, the company that's helping cars go further with less, making cars more efficient, and helping to reduce emissions. Learn more at energyfactor.com. ExxonMobil. Energy lives here. Support also comes from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform. Invest in high-growth companies of the future, innovating in clean water, renewable energy, and medical breakthroughs. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/indicator.
Today's indicator is 3. That is the number of suspects in our great productivity mystery. Of course, there are many more suspects, but these are our top suspects.
And suspect number 1,
dun, dun, dun,
is mismeasurement. This is the idea that we're actually way more productive than we've ever been before, but we're just productive in a new way that just isn't being measured. Because we think of productivity as making something like a car or a circuit board, the goods and services we actually produce today are kind of elusive.
Maybe when I'm Googling something, I'm actually producing something for Google. That isn't currently measured as, like, economic output, but maybe it should be because it does create value for Google.
So this is the idea that we're producing just as much stuff, but because the price is zero, when economists go and measure output, and we do measure stuff according to the price we sell it at, that it doesn't look like output. And so this is the magic of Google and Facebook and Instagram and Amazon. The problem with that story is if you look at the extent of the productivity slowdown, it's so large that if we hadn't had a productivity slowdown, we're missing about a little less than $3 trillion. And as important as Google and Facebook and the IT revolution is, it's hard to find $3 trillion out of technology. So the shortfall is just too big.
Suspect number two.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wages.
Dun, dun.
So wages haven't grown much in the US over the past few decades, and there are all sorts of reasons for this. But Heidi Shearholt says when wages are low and labor is cheap, companies will often not invest in things that would make those workers more efficient.
So let's say there's a company that digs ditches. It could buy a hydraulic shovel that would let one worker do the ditch digging work of five workers. Or it could just hire five workers and give them all regular old shovels. Now, if the workers are cheap, that company might opt for just the five people with regular shovels.
Right, just think of it as like, okay, we'll have them dig with shovels rather than getting some hydraulic extractor because I can actually hire all the workers I need for cheaper and give them all shovels than buying that one big piece of equipment that would be used by just one worker, which would dramatically increase the productivity.
So they're just like basically making a logical economic calculation.
Yes.
Which brings us to suspect number three.
Dun, dun, dun.
And here's where things get meta. There is no mystery.
The victim was alive all the time.
Then it's not a paradox. It's just, look,
reality.
This assumption that we had that these new technologies would accelerate productivity growth, that just hasn't happened.
In other words, the numbers have it right. We feel like our iPhones and our Amazon Prime and our Google and our Uber have made us way more productive, but they really just haven't. And that seems hard to believe to me. But Justin Wolfer says suspect number three looks pretty guilty to him.
It's easy to be impressed by the enormous technological and innovative gains over the past decade or so. But then the thing is, you've got to remember what the equivalent gains were in an earlier period, right? So we now have people who can fly through the sky by sitting in a metal tube. We had the invention of the computer. We had indoor plumbing. Yes, the current era is impressive, but previous eras, it looks like from the statistics, were even more impressive.
Like when you grade on a curve, we're like, it's sort of a snooze fest.
So Google and Amazon and the iPhone, all the apps we use, sure, they're making us more productive, but they're no light bulb. They're no combustion engine. I mean, Amazon Prime can get you a package in two days.
True.
Or even overnight. But it's not like the invention of the wheel, you know?
Or is it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Just like in any great mystery, productivity has a twist. The last-minute suspect who you never even thought about because he just seemed so sweet, surely he couldn't be guilty. The suspect, Patty? Lag time. This is the idea that when a new technology comes, it takes a while for it to really get fully integrated into businesses and into our lives in a way that can truly make us more productive, that can improve our productivity.
For example, Thomas Edison, who brought the light bulb and electric lights to parts of Manhattan in 1882, that technology took decades to catch on. In 1925, only about half of US homes had electric power. The rest were still using candles and gas lights.
So it could just be that the great technology productivity bump is coming. We will just have to wait for it. Like a good mystery.
Le mystère de productivité. Le sequel.
Oh, your Hercule Poirot kills. I think it's great.
I'm twiddling my mustache.
Hey, Tamara.
Hey, Domenico. All week long, Brett Kavanaugh will face his Senate confirmation hearings.
Yeah, he's President Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, and there are going to be a lot of questions about how he could transform the Supreme Court for a generation.
The NPR Politics podcast will be following those hearings, and we'll hop in the studio every day to break down what you need to know.